from the rear yard setback requirement and separation distance requirements for proposed structures. Excuse me, section 115-25, 115-172, and 115-183 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. It's located on the north side of Center Avenue and the east side of Tanglewood Avenue within the Sea Air Village Manufactured Home Park. The 911 address is 19998 Center Avenue, Lot C94 in Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is AR1. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 310, Unit 56929. We have one letter of support, zero letters of opposition, and 9 mail return. The applicant is seeking a 6-foot variance from the 20-foot separation requirement for a proposed sunroom to the shed on Lot 95, a 6.8-foot variance from the 20-foot separation requirement from the proposed outside shower to the manufactured home on Lot 93, and a 1-foot variance from the 5-foot rear yard setback for the outside shower.
James Swam, 117 Shannon Boulevard, Middletown, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
The floor is yours.
I'm proposing to build a screened-in porch on our Rehoboth Beach property in Sea Air. And in terms of the building of it, it would require a 1-foot variance, both to my neighbor's shed and also to one corner of the property line. So you can see the property line slopes, so the very corner of the shed would just be 1 foot too close to that. In terms of the uniqueness of the property, so as you know, with Sierra, that the dimensions of the surrounding lot and the build out create a challenge in placing the screen and porch and maintaining the minimum separation distance required by the code. And I know you're familiar with the community. It was laid out in the 50s and the 60s, so the lots are very small in comparison to the size of what, you know, a modern manufactured home would be. The second, that it cannot otherwise be developed. Due to the physical circumstances of not only my lot, but also the adjoining lot, the back rear corner of the screen and porch could not be developed in strict conformity with the Sussex County Zoning Code. So what I'm proposing to do is build a screen and porch consistent with the size of the other screen and porches in the community. However, could not do that without violating the separation distance. So hence, I'm suggesting the variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property with screened in porch. Number three, not created by the applicant. The neighboring shed in question is placed on the exact boundary of my neighbor's property. And although it's currently not in conformity with the current code, it's been there so long. It's been grandfathered, and Royce, who owns the property with his wife, they bought it like that. So it was already there when they purchased it. So it's been there a very, 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 very long time. So that creates a practical difficulty for that. That would not be present. Number four, will it alter the essential character of the neighborhood? No, the variance, if authorized, it would not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, nor substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use of or development of the adjacent property, and not to be detrimental to the public welfare thereof. I do have two letters of support. So one is from Amy, who's the manager of the community, who I know you know very well. And do you have that? Do you have that letter? Because she had sent it in.
You have,
yes. Is that the one you have? Okay, perfect. So basically, she's writing in support of the applicant for the variance, and she noted in here that she was before the board January of 2023, and she at that noted the practical difficulties of one, substantial flooding, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, and then number two, also the shed she noted, and then also three. She noted then that the lots are disproportionately narrow and smaller than those that would be approved under county current standards. And as a result, She also indicated the variance would not alter the characteristics of the community, and she said many, if not the majority, of homes within Sierra have additions, porches, screened rooms, and similar improvements, which is accurate in terms of that. And then she also reiterated the practical difficulties not in the applicant's making, believes the request is reasonable, believes the resident should be afforded reasonable use of the lot, consistent with other homes in the community, and as such, respectfully ask the board to approve the variance at hand. The other it's actually an email of approval, and actually I'd submitted this with my packet, so I can give it to you if you want.
I have it in here. I overlooked it earlier.
Oh, okay.
It is in the original application, so it should be.
Anyway, this is an email that Royce emailed to me, and he's the person that owns the lot adjacent that this affects. And basically, he said, hey, I've reviewed Jamie reviewed the location of the future screened-in porch with me, and I'm in agreement with the location. And so, you know, I mean, obviously we're friends, so he's fine with all of that, and that's the only property it really would affect. Then number five, minimum variance. The variance sought the minimum variance necessary to afford relief and represents the least modifications possible of the regulations at issue. The placement of the screened-in porch relative to the neighbor's shed conforms with similar placements within the community. In addition to that, there's really two main drivers of wanting to put the screened-in porch up. One is our growing family. So it's Kathy and I, we've got four children, all local. Three are married, one is engaged to be married. We have five grandchildren between the ages of six and one. We have one more on the way, biological grandchildren. And we're about to get three more bonus grandchildren. So that's gonna be a total of nine grandchildren and 10 adults with all the kids and the spouses. And then Kathy's parents are also in their 80s, and they're local too. So they're over a lot. So given the configuration of the property right now, it's very difficult to have more than one family down at a time, and they're all down a lot, as you can imagine. So that represents a challenge. So the space with the screen and porch is necessary because that essentially extends our community space to allow the reasonable use of the property. The second really driving factor for wanting a screened in porch in particular is we do have a deck, but there are many, many, many days and evenings where the mosquito infestation is so bad that we can't be on the deck for more than 30 seconds or a minute. And Amy mentions the water issue in her letter. So essentially, there's a water drainage issue at the back of that community, and they put up, well, she explains it in her letter, but bottom line is, whenever there's a significant rain, the entire area floods, and our property is one of five that floods. And then that property also borders the country club, and there's a fence there, and so they've got their berm on the other side of that, where water sits on the other side of that fence, you know, which is, I don't know, 20 feet, 30 feet from our deck. So the thinking is that all of that water that sits there all the time just creates a massive mosquito infestation. So like if our, you know, young grandkids are out there and they're out there and, you know, they'll be out there for 30 seconds, a minute sometimes, they'll come in and, you know, they'll have just welts with mosquito bites. So anyway, so that's a concern. It's also a concern because Kathy's parents are over 80. And so the desire is to give the grandkids and the desire is to give everybody and her parents a place where they could enjoy an outdoor space, semi-outdoor space, in a mosquito-free environment when that is necessary. So those are really the two big driving forces behind wanting to do a screened-in porch in particular. And so that concludes my presentation.
Questions from the board?
If I may, before we get into that, I do remember when this came before the board a couple years ago. I know you, Mr. Williamson, you were on the board at that time, but I don't believe the other three members were. In your packet is the findings of fact from that. So this is a relatively new home. Am I correct, Mr. Swalm?
Yes. Amy got the variance when we had it built and put on the property. So that was January 2023.
Yeah, so it's relatively new, and just by way of background, Sierra Village had a blanket variance, or basically, I shouldn't say a blanket variance, but the community was considered a non-conforming community in 2007, which meant that any structures that existed on at that time were deemed non-conforming regardless of when they were put on. However, as lots were developed, the idea was that they individually would have to come back for variances, which is why you often will see these variance requests when a home is being replaced and a new one's being put on. The homeowner is not able to actually fit a home on the lot without being within 20 feet of the neighbor to each side. What we are not seeing a lot of are ones where there's these additions that are being added to them. I bring that up just because there is a difference there, and we've seen a few of these come up, but not many. I know we have a couple newer board members, and I just wanted to make you aware of that. The other thing that I wanted to point out was when you look at the findings from the 2003 decision, you'll see that this is a wider lot than other lots we see in Sierra Village. And I believe the record reflects that in the prior findings. But that a home was pushed to the northeast side and had referenced drainage issues on the other side towards Tanglewood Avenue. And those were findings that the board had made at that time as to why the home was not further away, because had it been closer to Tanglewood Avenue, it would not have needed as many variances as it needed at that time. It still may have needed some, but it would not have needed as many. So I wanted to point that out to you as part of your calculation for this, and also for the applicant so that he's aware of some of the background on him. Seems like he's got a good bit of the background anyhow. But I wanted to bring that up because this, again, we're not seeing a lot of these come up, and I wanted to give you a little history. It differs a little from the one we heard earlier tonight where it was a home from the 70s or 80s that had been there prior to that 2007 determination.
The proposed porch, is that for the entranceway? I'm assuming that's where there's a doorway in there to the trailer now. So the porch will be part of that.
So where do you mean the screened-in porch?
The screened-in porch. You already have a deck.
Already have a deck. So there's two entrances on the side of the unit, and one is the first door, which is at the very edge of the deck. Okay. So you walk up the deck. And then if you go to the very end of the deck, you turn right and you go inside the house. The other door is closer to the rear, and so the screened-in porch is designed to go from the edge of the deck to cover that second door. So then that would be an internal entrance to the screened-in porch. So the reason that we couldn't put it back, in other words, if we moved it 3 feet back to be on the other side of the door, then there would not be any internal entrance to the screen-in porch. So that's the reason for the placement of it there particularly.
Will you have a set of steps out the back side of the screen-in porch too?
Yeah, so there'll be a set of steps on the plans, and then that'll go into an outdoor shower. And so it'll be steps with like a concrete landing that's already there actually, and then outdoor shower.
Questions from the board?
Several.
Fire away.
Is the outside shower attached to the house? Will it be attached, or it will be a separate standing structure?
I believe it's going to be attached. But the requirement from Sea Air is that it is tied into the plumbing. So I think the reality is it could be freestanding or attached, but I know it has to be tied into the plumbing of the unit. It can't just be a drain. So that was the big...
Because Ms. Norwood, if it was unattached, I don't know that it would need a variance. Is that right?
Correct. If the panels of the walls aren't attached to the unit in any way.
Oh, well, I can very easily make it unattached then. That's not a problem. It's more Sea Air required being willing to tie it into the drain in order.
Yeah, that makes sense. But we're looking at it from the actual walls themselves. So.
Yeah, then that'd be easier to do that anyway.
The other thing, when I look at this, because when I look at the proposed deck and the three season room, it's a fairly significant addition to what already exists on the lot. And this is I think it's a wider home than some of the others that we see in Sear. Many that I recall seeing are under 20 feet in width, and this is a 26-foot wide home.
Correct.
That being said, is there a reason why the screen porch is not towards the front? It would appear that you would be able to fit the porch on the property, which would alleviate your mosquito issue, without having a separation distance issue. Why are we not doing that?
Well, I guess I could have done that in the beginning, before building the deck. I mean, I guess that might have been the better way to do it.
Well, the law surmises there's a minimum variance to afford relief, which means if you can comply, you should comply. So that's one of the five standards, and that's one that is critical. When was the deck built? Because it says proposed on here, but when was the deck built?
Deck was built about a year and a half ago. And so the deck was built so that the edge of the deck, you could turn right and go into the exterior exit of the home. So if I would have moved the deck forward, then there would have been no way to get from the deck into the home, right? Because the very edge of the deck is right where the door is to the inside of the home. So the thought was, build it that way so you can literally go out of the home from the deck. And then that required the porch to be built covering the other door. So then you have an entrance. So to redo it would have been to build the deck with a door or a entryway that would then go into a screened-in porch, and then you would turn right, and so you wouldn't have an entrance to the home outside of the screened-in
porch. How is that not being created by you?
Well,
because it has to be due to the uniqueness of the property that you need the variance.
Well, I think the issue with the shed isn't being created by me. I think you could argue that the issue with the 1 foot setback to the very corner on the diagonal would be created by me in that situation. But I would suggest that, you know, the best configuration of the deck and the screen and porch from a, you know, use case scenario for the property is the configuration that we have.
You mentioned, or I shouldn't say you mentioned, the findings, you know, from the prior hearing, this board found that there was a drainage issue on that side of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And you've mentioned, I think, that there is flooding on that. Is it on that side of the property?
Significant flooding. In fact, there are many times where I can't get to my car because of the flooding. And I was...
Where do you park your car at, just so that we have a point of reference there?
So if not on Tanglewood, but if you go on Sierra, we had put pavement right there. So if you're looking at the home from Tanglewood and it's the right-hand side, we put pavement right there. So I can show you.
Yeah, if you want to walk up, you can show us. That would help.
So okay, so this is the lot right here. So we put the pavement right here in the front, and when it floods...
So between, just so for the record, so between the house and Center Avenue?
Correct. And so when it floods, it's this area that floods, it's this area that floods. We have a shed over here, and it actually floods up to the bottom of our shed and floods down that way, completely floods this road back and forth where it's, you can't even drive down that road, and then also floods into here and into here. So there's about five lots that are affected by the flooding. And when we purchased this home, that was not disclosed to us. So we were unaware of the flooding, and so we were unaware of the mosquito issue as well.
Sure. I can understand that. But one of the things that I look at is by adding, you know, this structure there, that's going to be in an area that would, in theory, be a drainage area, would it not?
Well, it would be a drainage area, but the structure wouldn't affect the drainage because it would be built up on the footers. So you'd still have all the drainage underneath it.
So you don't believe it'll exacerbate any existing drainage issues in that area?
Oh, not at all. Yeah, not at all.
I presume it'll be gutted.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Did you look at a smaller porch? I know you've mentioned you've got a large family, but is there a...
The dilemma with a smaller porch is we'd have to move it back behind the second doorway, and then there'd be no entrance from the home into the porch. So the size on that side is dictated by needing to go past the door, so there's an internal entrance to the porch.
Where is the door to the rear, as you're looking at the rear of the dwelling, where is the exterior door?
So the exterior door
is
at...
Could you pull up the site plan, Ms. Lepore? That would probably be the most helpful thing to look at. It may be elsewhere in here, but I just have that one in front of me. Okay, so no, not that one. The one that shows the actual proposal. Well, it's helpful for the board to be able to see what we're all looking at. There we go. So on that plan, the one from October 23.
So the door on the deck is right there.
Right. Okay, so right where the deck, or just where the deck and the screen porch were to meet, but on the deck side.
Correct. The door on the second door is right there on the very end corner right there. So that's why if we took that wall and moved it, let's say, I don't know, 4 feet, whatever the side of the door is, over here, then I don't have an entrance to this, the screen and porch from the home.
It seemed to me there would be a way to shorten the deck, move the porch further down, use that as your entry. You have your one entrance from there if need be.
Well, to shorten the deck would be, I'm not even sure how that would work because of the pylons and because of the way that was was approved. Well, there was the pylons and the decking. Like, I don't know if it'd even be possible to shorten the deck without redoing the deck. So I don't think that that's, yeah, I don't think that that's even doable with that. The only other way to do it would be if you shorten this beyond here, but even if you built an enclosure here, that's still, I don't even know how that still wouldn't really give you an internal entrance to the three Caesar. So we're really, I mean, I get why you're saying, how is this not of your making, but what's really jamming us up is simply the location of that door right there. That door here wouldn't be a problem. I mean, it'd actually be very easy at that point, because I can just put it there, and it's, and then it's a non-issue.
So the other question I did have was, 3 years ago, the board approved the dwelling. It was put on at some point in 2023. And then you put on the deck, you said, about a year and a half ago. And there wasn't you didn't notice a mosquito issue then that needed it?
No, because we didn't spend a lot of time outside. Well, any time outside, really.
Okay.
So, but what's interesting, though, is we've since learned from our neighbors that mosquito issue has existed in that area.
But, I mean, it was in our findings, so it's not like it was.
But that was not disclosed to us either when we purchased. When we purchased the unit.
If the mosquitoes are so bad, have you thought about just turning the deck into your porch, like your screened-in porch?
We did. However, the deck wasn't constructed for that purpose, so essentially, in order to do that, we'd have to redo the deck it would basically mean tearing down the deck and then building the three season room there. So it, you know, did cross our mind, but it's not reasonably accomplishable and would be very cost prohibitive.
But is that deck usable now with the mosquito problems that you've talked about?
Sometimes. It depends on the timing of the rains and the timing of the flood, so it really ebbs and flows. So there are times where we can use the deck without mosquitoes. It's not 100% of the time. Definitely depends upon the timing of the rain.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification. I don't have any further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions from the board? If you would, you can have a seat in the front. Is there anyone present who is in favor of case number 13157? Is there anyone present who is in opposition of case number 13157? If there are no further questions from the board, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Sharp, just for clarification, being the shower is going to be detached now, there's no longer a variance required for that, correct? Just for the...
Correct.
Do we need some more time to think about this one as well, or thoughts?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like the property line has a slight angle to it.
Sir, the record's been closed, so the board would have to reopen it to hear additional testimony. If you wish to do that, we could, but...
Can we reopen, Mr. Chairman? I do have another question, if I could.
Yeah, you can move to reopen the record for the additional question, and somebody can second it.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we reopen so that I can ask further questions.
Motion and a second. Dr. Hitchens?
Aye.
Mr. Kingery?
Aye.
Mr. Lovinger?
Aye.
And I too, so we will reopen this case. 4-0.
And so that's the corner in question. And so if you go from that corner right to there, that's where that 1 foot variance is needed. But as the property line slopes away, there would not need to be a variance for any of this, right? Because given that diagonal slopes away from it, is really only this little tiny corner that is too close to the shed and that is too close to that line prior to the... Does that make sense?
It does. And hence that, I'm trying to find a reason.
I understand.
Your proposal is 14 by 27. If you went 12 by 27 or 13 by 27, because of the angle of the property line, would that take you away from the requirements of a variance?
Well, if I went 12 by 27 or... 12 by 27, I would run the math, but I'm guessing it would be close. And then it would be a smaller thing, and that we would just lose the contiguous nature of that build out there. So in other words, it would just be built here and then like that. So that would, from a square footage standpoint, obviously substantially reduce the space of the area. Technically, there is a number, whether it's 2 or 3 feet smaller, that would get us beyond the need for that variance.
Would that be something that you would entertain?
I'd rather respectfully not entertain that, because to do that would significantly reduce the usable space. And I understand the shed variance is not an issue. It's really the variance from the property line that's probably the bigger issue. And I mean, that corner is so small in terms of the kind of variance that is needed there. It's like, I don't know, I can't even more than a square foot or two.
Or the three. Variance isn't from the rear yard. The variance is from the separation from the shed on the neighbor's property. It's a 6-foot variance from the 20-foot separation distance requirement for the sunroom. The other two variances requested were only for the outdoor shower, which, because it's not attached, we don't need those anymore.
Oh, I misunderstood that then.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, I completely misunderstood that then.
So what it is there, in Sierra Village, there's a requirement that a primary structure be at least 20 feet from other structures on neighboring properties. If it's an accessory structure, like your shed there, to your neighbor's shed, that's a 10-foot separation. But once it's a main structure, like your porch, it's got to meet 20 feet.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you for clarifying that.
Sure. And that goes both ways. So, like, if your neighbor does something there and takes his shed down, takes his house down, he's got to meet those requirements too.
Yeah.
And he may need a variance from that, depending on what his lot would have.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. In light of that, I would respectfully request that I not be asked to be penalized because my neighbor's shed is grandfathered in on the property line. And especially since he has no issues with the request. He's in support of it, and the park manager's in support of it. So, so I respectfully request that I not be penalized for that.
I do have one thing when I look at it. The 14 feet is from the northwest corner of the proposed sunroom to the southeast corner of the neighbor's shed. And again, this is where we have to look at that setback, that separation requirement long term. If your neighbor removes that shed and wants to put a new shed on his property farther off that property line, if he goes to the north side, where there's more space, potentially, even if he's off the property line. If I run an angle of 14 feet, it's gonna go farther into the neighbor's property than where he is now. I'm not sure how much, but it would go in there quite a bit.
Could you explain that to me again?
If you were, it's probably easier if I show you. If you come right here. That line right there. Mm-hmm. Take it out and go 14 feet this way. Mm-hmm. If you just run that line and you scale it, it's going to project closer than right on the property line. Mm-hmm. So it's going to create a separation here. Now he would, in theory, if he were to develop his property, would have to be 20 feet from that structure. So it's going to be 20 feet out here is going to be where his building, if he ever has to develop his, is going to be. Mm-hmm. Whereas if this isn't here, he doesn't have to worry about that. He may have to worry about it from here, but not from there.
That's a very big, well-done shed, and there's only a walkway between the shed and his unit. Physically could not.
Couldn't get any closer. Yeah, couldn't get it in over here.
Physically could not.
Okay. That's helpful to know, because we don't see that on here. I have enough for them, Mr. Chairman.
Anything, any further questions from the board? Would I have to go through the objection?
Yeah, you just say, no, you don't have to go to the objection. We just say close the record now.
Okay, we're going to close the record.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we deny case number 13157 for Mr. James Swam Jr. for the requested variance pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The property does not have unique physical conditions which have created an exceptional practical difficulty for the applicant. The applicant has failed to demonstrate that the property cannot be developed in strict conformity with the Sussex County Zoning Code, and that variance is necessary, and that the variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. The exceptional practical difficulty has been created by the applicant. The variance will alter the essential character of the neighborhood or will substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use or development of adjacent property or will be detrimental to the public welfare. The variance does not represent the minimum variance necessary to afford relief and the least modification of the regulation at issue.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Mr. Kingery.
Aye.
Mr. Leavenworth.
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Dr. Hitchens.
Aye, for my reasons.
These are difficult because I've seen these come forth, and the issue is when are these going to stop? Because you think they won't be part of an application, but in the end, they're going to be part of an upcoming application. We just don't have everything how it's set up in the community, and that's concerning to me because we're just tightening everything up. Just a comment I'm making, and I will also vote aye, so that with a vote of 4-0. Case number 13157 has been denied. Any additional business?
Just a reminder, we're in 3 weeks, not in 2 weeks. Everybody enjoy their Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes. Motion for adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.